All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, we're going to continue along in the series of Love, Mercy, but we're going to look at it from a completely different angle this morning. You know, we've been in kind of emphasizing week in and week out up to this point that we should have a covenantal love for mercy. But do you realize that on the other side of that coin is that God has a covenantal love with mercy toward us? Who believes that God is committed to you till you get to heaven? I do. You know, I'm not one, and I'm sure I've made it abundantly clear, but any opportunity I get, I'm going to say it again, church family. God is not a fickle God. God is not a funky Savior. The times that we mess up, He doesn't withdraw His salvation from us. And the times that we start cleaning up our quote-unquote act, does He give it back to us? He doesn't take away. He doesn't give it back. He doesn't take away. You know, it beckons back. Oh, God. When, you know, Dad had, my earthly father had made out his will. And I remember when, for whatever reason, you know, I don't know how I could ever do this. I was such a saintly child of the Lord. But when I would get him mad enough and frustrated enough, then he would appoint my younger brother as the testator of the will. Yes, executor of the will. And then when he made him mad for whatever reason, then I again became that. That's the way. Oh gosh, how many of y'all know that God's not like that? He's not a fickle God and He's not a funky Savior. Amen? He is committed. Now listen, church family, listen to me. That line of thinking that I can lose my salvation does not square with me. Because if He did not give up on the cross for us when the pain was the worst, why would He give up on us now that He's sitting at the right hand of the Father? Come on, somebody. Amen. Doesn't God have a covenantal loyalty to us? It's called a covenant of mercy. The Hebrew word is chesed. It's a rock hard commitment to us. All right, now this morning we're going to look at the covenant terms by which this covenant was forged, or to use the appropriate word, cut. People cut covenants in ancient civilizations, in ancient cultures. We've said before, and let me just kind of give you a little refresher, a little reminder of how we've described covenants. Covenants were always made from, first of all, it involved how many parties? Two parties. Was a covenant ever made from the lesser party to the greater party? No. Because a lesser tribe could not bring anything to the table. Always covenants were initiated from the greater party to the lesser party. If you look through your Bibles, church family, you never see a human being initiating a covenant with God. It's always God initiating a covenant with His people. Well, Pastor Joe, what about Hannah? Didn't she ask the Lord? Baby, let's be clear about the Bible. That's called a vow. You know, Hannah was weeping because she was barren, and she cried out to the Lord. She said, Lord, give me a child, and I will dedicate him to You. She made, and it specifically says in the Scripture, she made a vow. Let's not confuse when people make vows to the Lord. Come on, somebody. With a covenant. And Jesus came along and He said, don't make any more vows. Right? Let your yes be what? Yes. Yes, and your no be? No. No. There goes that. So God always initiated a covenant. Here's He's going to initiate a covenant with Abram. He appears to him in a vision. Now listen carefully, because we always said that, remember, were there any escape hatches in a covenant? No. It's like a gang. It's blood in, blood out, right? I mean, you commit your life to this or you're gone. Right? Now, I'm going to introduce another thought here. I want you to pay close attention. Listen, the covenant that God made with Abraham was not the covenant that God made with God's people in Mount Sinai. That's called the law. That's a different covenant entirely, based on different conditions. That was primarily made to what kind of people? To the Jews, right? God said the terms of that covenant of the law are specified in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Read the entire chapter, has 68 verses. You want to see what the interesting thing about that particular covenant was? Is that the first 14 verses talk about the blessings of, if you obey me, if you follow me, if you keep my commandments, and I will bless you, I will bless you, I will bless you. Only 14 verses are dedicated to blessings. Verses 15 through 68 are dedicated to cursings. If you don't follow me, if you don't obey me, if you don't keep my commandments, then I will curse you. You will be cursed. Your land will be cursed. Your harvest will be cursed. You will be cursed with sickness. Your children will be taken away by a different people. But let's be clear this morning that that is a different covenant. And I want you to see the Bible from that standpoint, that the real covenant, listen carefully, church family, the covenant through which salvation came was not the covenant of God with his people in Mount Sinai called the law. No, that covenant was streamlined into a covenant that God began with Abraham. That's the real covenant. The real covenant through which salvation comes not only to the Jews, but to all the world came through the covenant with Abraham. Amen? Not through the law. Romans 3:20 says, by the observance of the law shall no person be acquitted of their sins in the eyes of God. Who's ever gone to the doctor and they order you an MRI or a CAT scan or an X-ray? Who's ever had that? I've gotten X-rays. Right? Now, let me ask you, can that CAT scan, can that MRI, can that X-ray cure you of your disease? It does what? It only what? Shows that you need a doctor, right? That is the purpose of the law. Romans 3:20 goes on to say that through the law comes the knowledge of sin. It shows us what's right and wrong, but it doesn't help us in obedience to God. Amen? So let's stop trying to preach the law, the you better or else. Jesus came and brought a better covenant. It was called a covenant of love. Love the Lord your God. He took what God gave in the Shema, in the law, in Deuteronomy 6:5, verses following. Love the Lord your God, hear, O Israel. The Lord God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that was the basis. But then Jesus comes along, reiterates that covenant. And then he says, once having been with the disciples, I want you to love each other as I have loved you. All right, are we ready to see the terms of the Abrahamic covenant? The covenant through which our salvation came. All right. Genesis chapter 15. Whew, that was a big introduction. How many are glad? At least you're tracking with me, right? Okay, so we're going to read one verse at the end of chapter 15. Then we're going to go back and then lead up to that, okay? Let's read. Where did that verse go? It was there last night. Let's go to verse 7. Verse 7. Then, first of all, the Lord appears to Abraham, and then he says, look, this is what I'm going to do with you. I will bless you. You will have offspring, and they will number the sands of the sea, the stars of the sky, right? Didn't the Lord tell Abraham that? And he said, through your seed, through your offspring, who all's going to be blessed? Everyone, the whole world will be blessed through your offspring. Okay, so verse 7. Then he said to him, he, the Lord, said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, listen carefully, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now stop there. Stop in verse 11. What's happening here? Why did the Lord say, get these animals, cut them in half? Because, listen carefully, this is way before the law was ever instituted, right? There were no animal sacrifices. There was no Jewish nation at this point. So what God did, he took a pagan, listen carefully, a pagan covenant-making ritual that Abraham understood, and he said, let's use this for now, this pagan ritual, to make so that I can make a covenant with you, Abraham. Abraham understood what was going to happen. So who are the two parties in this covenant? God and Abraham. Okay, very important to note. Now, let me explain this ritual, because we're going to see in a verse later in this text that in this ritual, somebody was supposed to take a smoking fire pot and a torch on the other. Each party, one party was supposed to take one thing and the other party take the other, and they were supposed to walk in the middle between the halves of these animals, the halves of all the animals he said to get and to cut in two. Listen, what were they doing when they walked between those animals? They were basically saying, these two parties that were coming into covenant, they were basically saying, if I do not fulfill this covenant, may I be as dead as these animals to my side. May I be as dead as these animals to my side. Interesting, huh? Now, do you want to see something more interesting? Once again, who are the parties in this covenant? God and? Very good. Verse 12. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. So what's Abram doing now? Fell asleep. Light sleep? Deep sleep. Okay, so I've got a question for you. Man, I love what I do. So listen. So if the Lord's going to walk on one side of those animal halves, how is Abraham going to walk on the other side if he's falling asleep? Can he? How many of y'all have ever been to a wedding? I think everybody has. The guys are like, I don't like them marrings and their bearings. It would be the same as you go to a wedding, the man, the groom, is standing up wide awake and ready to exchange vows, and the bride's falling asleep. She is in deep sleep. How are the vows going to be exchanged? Same situation here. Well, how many of y'all want to read on? Isn't the Bible good? I'm going to ask that again. I didn't say, hey, I did not ask, aren't I a decent teacher? I said, isn't the Bible good, people? Here we go. Verse 13, then he said to Abram. Now, can Abram listen to any of this? No. What's Abram doing? Sleeping. He said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they will come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass, stop there. Now notice what's happening here. What's happening is God's basically laying out what's going to happen. Okay? Now, ready? Buckle your seatbelts. Verse 17, and it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there was a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. Do you see that? So let me ask you, how many parties were walking between those pieces? Two parties. Was the second party Abram? No. What's Abram doing? We'll find out who that other party was. Verse 18, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with whom? The Lord made a covenant with whom? So apparently God could make a covenant with a human being while that human being's asleep. Right? Go with me to Galatians 3. How many are liking this teaching? We're going to look at covenant promises here, all right? Galatians 3, let's jump into verse 15. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed or ratified, no one annuls or adds to it, right? Once a covenant is ratified, you can't add to it or take away from it. Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Stop there. When Abraham was asleep, God was talking to Abraham still, right? He said, look, this is what's going to happen. These are my promises. These are my promises. Those promises were made to whom? Abraham, right? But it doesn't stop there. Now to Abraham and his seed, verse 16, where the promise is made, he does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your, capital S, seed, who is whom? So who did God make those promises to? He made them to Abraham, but he made them to whom? Christ. Let's go back to Genesis 15. So I ask you, based on this scripture, God made his promises to Abraham, but he also made them to whom? Christ. So who was the second party walking? Woo, I get goosebumps when I say this. Who was the second party walking between the animal halves? Christ. No. Woo, you could feel what I feel. I got chills all over. The Father ratified a covenant to Abraham. He made the promises to Abraham. But listen, he made the promises to Christ. Would you agree with me that that is a fail-safe, fail-proof covenant? What did God do there? He took our performance, listen carefully, God wants us to love him. God wants us to pursue holiness. God wants us to grow in our relationship with him. Amen? But he took away our failings and our flaws and removed them. Didn't even add them in the covenant. He didn't say it's all based on your performance. He just says, love me. Who's the performance? Who did the performance fall on? Christ. No wonder the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is the guarantee, whoo, of a better covenant. Not my performance. How strong is this covenant of mercy, church family? How strong is it? Does it only last till the next time I mess up? It's forever. Woo, Lord have mercy. How many of y'all saw something, an aspect of your salvation today that you had not seen before? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, wow, what an honor to see a covenant ratified. Lord, you would bless all the nations of the world. You said that to Father Abraham. Those promises were made to him. But Lord, you were walking between those animal halves. Jesus was walking between those animal halves. And he is the guarantee that this covenant of mercy is enacted. It is carried out according to your will. Father, thank you that the pressure is off. Our responsibility to love you is not off, but our pressure, the pressure to perform, is off. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.